Ladies and gentlemen, this is a public service announcement. For regular viewers and listeners of AWI Pod, please do not be offended, as this program contains good wrestling. It's my life in the box in front of me. Take it off in my arms, it's the soul of me. You walk by, ask to see me lay face down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Warned Attitude. This is the 52nd edition. I am your host, Brett Biles. And with me, as always, on my time-traveling ventures back to the year of 1997, he is the Barman Brawling Disco Dancing Dynamite Stretching Intercontinental Playboy. Folks, he's more over than a 68-team bracket to see who wins a national championship at J.R. Russell. Glenn, how are you?
I'm good. I just don't know what all that was about.
March Madness is starting up this week, Glenn. It starts on Thursday, and that is a big thing over here in America. You are familiar with the NCAA March Madness bracket thing? You've heard of this?
I have not.
What?
No, I haven't.
You've never, ever heard of this?
No.
Oh, my God, Glenn. So, all right, well, here we go.
Hate me.
No, I don't hate you. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to explain it all to you, Glenn. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So the college basketball season, they have a full season. At the end of this season, they take 68 teams. They seed them. They throw them all into a gigantic tournament. And everybody feels it's a single elimination tournament, Glenn. And we whittle it down from 68 teams to one team to find who the champion is. And everybody fills out their bracket. You fill out a bracket. Your wife fills out a bracket. Your kids fill out brackets. Your grandma fills out a bracket. She only picks the teams that has the best fucking mascots, but your grandma fills out a bracket and she usually wins. That's what March Madness is.
All right. Okay. You said the two words where I'm not surprised that I don't know about it. You say college and basketball.
Yeah. I mean, you guys don't really have college sports over there, do you?
No. Well, apart from boat races and rugby matches and sort of the snobby things that...
I don't know if you can consider rugby snobby.
It is when it's played with Oxford against Cambridge.
You know what? You're right. I'll give you that one. You know what? You're right, Glenn. That's fine. I'll give you that one. But yeah, so that's kicking off this week, and that's why you're more over than the NCAA tournament, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
People are everywhere going to get together with all their friends, drink beer, and watch basketball. I may hang out with one friend and watch basketball, probably not drink beer, because if I drink beer, I'll have the worst hangover of my life. So
I'm just glad you didn't upset Dad by saying I was more over than Manchester United.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to go there. And also, Glenn, I wouldn't as much as I didn't hate to see Manchester United win that game with Liverpool. And I mean, talk about fucking entertaining. That was an entertaining football match.
It certainly was. Yeah. The whole weekend of FA Cup games has been entertaining.
So I only watched that one, really. I missed the rest of them. City won 2-0 right over Newcastle.
Yeah, you need to watch Coventry as well.
US player was the hero of that game too.
He was,
which I did not know. So yeah, I mean, some interesting matchups coming up there in the FA Cup. We are unfortunately on a long international break now, Glenn, so we won't get to watch any more Arsenal football until the 31st, where we will take on Manchester City.
Hopefully, that'll be a rehearsal for the Champions League semi-final.
Because that's right after that too, isn't it?
Well, no, the quarterfinal is.
We play
Bayern Munich, but if we beat them, then we play City in the semi.
God, I don't want to play them.
I told you, didn't I? The last six times that Arsenal have been in the quarterfinals, they always say, "Oh, they lose in the quarterfinals." Four times it was against Barcelona and twice it's been against Bayern Munich. So the seventh time, who do we get? Bayern Munich again.
Well, maybe we'll get lucky, Glenn. Who knows?
Yeah. I would think that we've got a better chance now than we've ever had against them. So they're not even top of their league.
Yeah, they seem to be having a bit of a down year in their league. But I've seen, you've seen it before where teams look like they're having a down year in their league and then they'll fuck around and win the Champions League. So you just never know.
Of course, yeah.
You just never know. And I, you know what I've noticed, like that I didn't notice was really a thing until I started watching like different regions, leagues of soccer. They all have like a different style of play. They don't they don't all have the same style of play. Some of it's more wide open, some of it isn't, some of it's more defensive minded, some of it isn't. And so that's always interesting to me to see how like the different styles of play in the different regions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what makes it so interesting in Champions League as well. Because you could come up against a team like Porto were, and they parked the bus 11 men behind the ball.
But yeah.
Come up against a team that's more expansive, and we beat them.
Yeah, so who knows? We got a lot of good football coming up, and while I am anxious as hell, I am also very excited at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't, like I said, that's all the football we really have to talk because our team isn't playing right now. So I did see that old Gabriel has pulled out of international duty for Brazil, which.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the article I read said bad news for Arsenal fans, but I read that and went, I don't know, that looks like good news to me.
Got a bit of recouping on the beach. That'll do nicely.
Yeah, that'll be good for him. And it's like, I think they only have like friendly matches, so it's not like he has anything he needs to be on the squad for. So I'm glad he's skipping it.
Yeah, they've got friendlies. England have already got friendlies. The whole thing is a bloody. They've basically pulled everything to a halt for a couple of games, playoff games.
Yeah, right.
it seems a bit stupid, really. There you go.
There you go. Glenn said it. It does seem a bit stupid. We could still be playing. You just minus a few guys, right?
Anyway, let's hop off to Oklahoma City, shall we?
Let's hover off to old Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, at the Mayrid Convention Center, Glenn. It is now known as the Prairie Surf Studios. It is now a film production complex in downtown in Oklahoma City. So it used to be a convention center, and it was the home to several minor league baseball teams. Minor league teams such as basketball and hockey. Opened in May of 1972. Couldn't find much about this other than having a few house shows, but nothing really major of wrestling history happening in this building. And it was, like I said, it was converted into a production studio in 2021. So it doesn't have any events there unless you're going to start a movie.
No. All right, then.
So I got nothing for you on the Prairie Surf Studios.
Not to talk about. It's not as though we need to be padding it out with the venue, is it?
Really? Yeah, sorry if you only tune in here to hear about information about the venues, but I'm sorry. during the pyro and such, I thought it was nice that they were kind of laid out. Vince didn't do his normal blah, blah, blah bullshit right at the beginning. We actually got to hear the fans.
Yeah.
Screaming and shouting. I saw a fan in the crowd, easy for me to say, that said, China is my prom date, which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, there's lots of signs. Vince, his first thing after, welcome, as he does, he goes, Oklahoma City showing their freedom of expression. Oh, freedom of expression abounds. I.e. some dodgy signs.
Yeah. I.e. signs that would offend people. Yeah.
Yes.
Not me, but someone. Interesting. LOD makes their way down to the ring to start the show. And so I'm thinking.
Very confusing.
I'm thinking LOD's about to be in a match, right? And then Ahmed Johnson comes down.
Yeah. And then Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, and I'm like, so it's going to be LOD versus Ken Shamrock and Ahmed Johnson?
Yeah, that's what I thought. No.
No, apparently not, because the Nation then make their way down to the ring, which made me even more confused.
Yeah.
At first, I could have swore they said it was going to be Rocky and D'Lo versus Ahmed and Shamrock, but then it somehow got switched to Rocky and Kama.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed to be a glitch in the commentary. I think I think what they said was it was Farouk and D'Lo with Rocky and Karma, but the Farouk bit got jumped out of it somehow. So it just sounded like it was...
It was just very fucking strange.
Because... It was very strange anyway. But the good thing is that we got something refreshing at the start of this match. We're normally all the matches end in brawls. This one started with one.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that is true. All eight men start brawling before the match. I guess LOD just came out here just so they could get a pop and they could have these guys' backs against the evil Nation of Domination, but eventually clear the ring out, and we finally figure out that we unlock the mystery that it is Rocky and Khan versus Ahmed Johnson and Ken Shamrock. DX comes out onto the stage. They've got signs of their own. One that says, "I'd rather be in China."
Yeah.
China's holding up one that says, "Spank me, Vince." And another one that says, "Who booked this crap?"
Yeah.
So that was something. It seemed to be some sort of cahoots going on between Rick Rude and Farouk, because he like walks down to the ring and they're kind of talking back and forth.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Oh, there was one there, one of the sides, said China has a vagina.
She does, so it's the correct sign. China does.
I think that was a dig at the king, though, who was saying, intimating the last few weeks that she does.
That's probably what it was. That reminds me of, Benny, have you ever seen the movie Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It was on, yeah. It was on a telly at the weekend.
So that little kid comes up to him when he first goes in there and goes up to him. He's like, "Boys have a penis and girls have a vagina."
Yeah. This is one bit of information he knows.
But yeah, besides all the nonsense going on outside the ring, I did think that this was a pretty solid opening match. I thought you could tell when Shamrock and Rocky were in the ring together. You could tell that they were really going to have some good in-ring chemistry and go on to have a feud, which they will in 1998. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty solid opening match for what it was.
Good solid Rocky Sucks chance as well.
Yep. He also did another. He did a people's elbow for the second week in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's building up to the Rock, isn't he, now?
Yeah, he's getting there. Yeah, so then eventually Rude is out there talking to Farouk, and the referee kind of gets distracted by LOD and other members of the Nation brawling outside. Farouk gets in the ring quickly after grabbing Rude's briefcase and clobbers Ahmed Johnson in the head with it, and then Rocky pins him, and that gives the win to the Nation of Domination members. They then start to brawl up the stage. I mean, they start to leave. Ahmed Johnson chases them all the way up the stage to fight all five guys, which isn't smart.
Yeah. Although, you've got to give it to him for keep on trying with Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah, they're not giving up with that, are they?
No.
No, they're really not.
It would have just been easier to let him loose clean, but no, they had to give him the treatment with the briefcase.
Yeah, and then, like, as he's chasing down LOD, I mean, it's just he's, like, chasing them down. LOD's following, kind of following behind him a little bit. All of a sudden, the Godwins come from out of nowhere, and they hit LOD over the head with trash cans.
And a rather politically incorrect sign for Ahmed Johnson, because you know what Farouk's been calling him.
The Uncle Tom 316 sign.
Uncle Tom 316, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even put the two and two together that Farouk had been calling him that.
Yeah, he'd been calling him that right from the beginning of their feud.
Yeah, so I was wondering why they had that Uncle Tom 316 sign. And, like, personally, as a Caucasian man, I don't think I should be throwing around, I don't think us Caucasian people should be throwing around the term Uncle Tom. I just don't think we should be doing that, personally. But 1997 was a different time, a different era. But
unless, of course, you've got an Uncle Tom.
Yeah, unless your uncle's name is Tom. Yeah. That's right. The only thing I didn't like about this match was that it appears that I'm going to have to see another fucking LOD Godwins match, which I really don't want to.
No, that's right.
I really, really don't want to. They also let us know that there will be a former WCW champion live in the ring tonight, Glenn. And The Undertaker will be here to talk about his brother Kane. And then a very angry Farouk makes his way out to the ring with the Nation of Domination following behind him.
Just before that, with the Godwins, where'd they get those garbage cans from? You know, did somebody leave them laying around their back, forget to put them under the ring or something? And why, and with all the weapons that you could use, why attack them with garbage cans?
Well, they were like, we already used buckets and lucky horseshoes. Why not a garbage can this time? But yeah, so Kane's, I'm not Kane. Farouk's out here. He's really mad. Basically, they cut a thing out of the show where I think,
yeah,
somebody had trashed the Nation's locker room and wrote some
racist comments on the wall and put a Canadian flag in there.
Yeah, so they were making it seem like the Harts did it. And so, of course, Farouk and the Nation are down here angry. You know, they want Bret Hart out there right now. And after what feels like a long, very long time, Bulldog comes out, then Neidhart and Owen. Finally, Bret joins them. And so then we get a match between Farouk and Bret Hart. There was a few times in this match where I didn't understand why it wasn't thrown out, because there's a lot of like outside fighting and brawling that involved the two people in the match and didn't involve people who were in the match, that involved people who weren't in the match. So
yeah,
I don't know. It didn't. So that part of it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And there was a lot of outside distractions, you know, with all the members of both factions out there. And then Shawn Michaels and DX come down there. Eventually, though, when everything starts to clear out, they do have a pretty decent match once they eventually get down to the meat of the match.
They say this sort of sums this show up, that they actually had some decent matches mixed in with all the crap.
Yeah, with all the nonsense. Exactly. Yeah. Because Bret really starts like working all over the knee of Farouk. He takes him over to the ring post. He tries to put the figure four around the ring post, which leads to brawling between the Harts and the Nation, which I didn't understand why this wasn't a DQ. Eventually, Austin hits the ring, stuns Farouk. The crowd popped through the roof for that one. They went crazy when Austin showed up. Bret gets in the ring, looks around confused, like he doesn't know what happened, but then pins Farouk anyway.
Yeah, well.
So Bret Hart gets the win over Farouk with the assist from Steve Austin. Yes, I did say that.
Yeah. Shame there was a big shame they had a commercial in the middle of it as well.
Well, let's rock some bells.
The official WWF action figures with bone crunching action.
So these girls want a slam dance. Well,
what a rush.
Collect Tag Team Series 1 from Jax, available at most retailers.
You got something decent going on there. You have a commercial.
Yeah, well, I did love that commercial, though, because it was like for wrestling. It was like action figure commercial, and I thought it was a really cool commercial. So
all right.
I did like that. Yeah. We then find out who this WWF champion, I'm sorry, WCW champion who's going to be in the ring tonight is. And it is a man who's been spending this day working hard on the go, but the hands on the clap keep spinning too slow.
He don't want to be associated with that anymore.
That's too goddamn mad for my eyes. He's always going to be. yeah, so Jeff Jarrett's back. In case you didn't know, he'd been working in WCW for much of 1996 and 1997 and didn't leave under WWE under necessarily the best terms when he did leave. So a bit of a shock maybe to some that he's back, and he had a whole lot to say, and I cut this thing down, Glenn, but it's still 3.5 minutes. So
yeah, well,
sit back, relax, and enjoy what Double J's got to say.
Last week on Monday Nitro, Jeff Jarrett was declared everything but dead. Since I refuse to accept Eric Bischoff's offer and re-sign with WCW, he did everything within his power to bury me. Well, Eric, the only thing that you ever pulled from Jeff Jarrett was opportunity. Since I wasn't one of your boys, you put a lid on my potential. I was only going to go as far as you wanted me to. There was never, ever any ladder of success for me to climb. Look who you booked me with. An ex-football player who can't even lock up. And his wife, she gives new meaning to the phrase dumb blonde. Vince, don't sit over there and snicker and smile and cherish this moment. Because I left the WWF 2 years ago for the same reason. Eric Bischoff did it out of either ignorance or inexperience of the wrestling business. What were your excuses? You booked me with a clown, a drug addict. Vince, you tried to bury me and you tried to kill me off, but you didn't get the job done. I guess you figured since you didn't put my dad out of business, just like you put every other wrestling promoter out in the 80s, since you couldn't do that, you figured the next best thing would be to kill his son off. Vince, you told me to come out here tonight and shoot, and that's exactly what I'm doing, right between your eyes. You can take with my baby tonight and stick it up your butt. And Shawn Michaels, physically, this guy can only wrestle once a week, and he's proud of that. Shawn, you call yourself the showstopper, the main eventer, the icon that can still go. Well, I got a question. How often can you go? It seems lately all you do is run around here, put silly little signs, point at your crotch, and give your little hand signals to your boys in Atlanta. And speaking of attitude, what about Steve Austin? Now, here's a guy who has lowered himself to shaving his head and coming out here every week, not once or twice, but 10 or 15 times, and saying the word ass. That's right, saying the word ass just to get a reaction, just to get noticed. As far as your blasphemous merchandise, that offends me. Austin 316 offends me, because what you're doing is ripping off the Bible to put money in your pockets. Yeah. Vince, you wanted the real Jeff Jarrett tonight. Well, you got him. I just hope your investment's going to be worth all your headaches.
He had a lot to say.
He did have a lot to say. And some of it cost him down the line, you know.
Yeah, I know Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't very happy with that promo. When Jeff got backstage, Stone Cold was waiting for him.
Basically, Austin boycotted him.
So they wouldn't work with him after that.
1998-1999, Jeff Jarrett was never going to be in the main event scene because Austin weren't going to let him. after saying 316 was blasphemous. To be fair to him, Austin's right, because he was frightened that it would upset the Christians and they'd boycott his merch sales and everything, his main way of earning money.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, from everything that I've read, I don't think that Austin was really fond of Jeff Jarrett even before this. I think they had maybe had some issues when Austin was working in Memphis.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, a lot of people probably in the wrestling business probably looked at Jeff a certain way because his dad had shitty payoffs. You know what I mean? And so they probably just didn't like Jeff because his dad had shitty payoffs. I mean, we've discussed this in our group chat for years. Yeah. I'm sure you were the same way. For years, I thought Jeff Jarrett was fucking an asshole, scum of the earth. Yeah. And I thought he was a jerk. But then I listened to his podcast. I was like, oh, wait, he's actually pretty genuine and a pretty nice fucking guy. So yeah. I'm sure a lot of people felt that way about him. But he didn't do himself any favors with that.
I certainly
would have went to Austin and maybe talked to him about it before I went out there and did that.
Yeah. It might have been an idea.
That might have been a good idea.
The rest of it, oh, is fine, because he wasn't telling anything that wasn't true.
Yeah, and I know him and Shawn Michaels had been friends for a while, so I'm sure Shawn didn't have a problem with anything.
He said no.
So, yeah, no, I mean, as far as you're looking at promos that Jeff Jarrett has cut over his career, that's probably one of the best ones.
Yeah.
You know?
And it did him the most damage.
And it hurt his career the most at the same time. The next matchup was Brian Christopher. He's out here with his daddy, the Jerry the King Lawler. He's going to be taking on Mark Morrow, who has got Sable with him, of course. I expected this to be a light heavyweight match, but it was not. What did you think about this one?
It was a decent match. It was what you'd expect from these two. And there's no real shenanigans apart from Miro using a low blow to set up the TKO.
And but, Jerry Lawler, he's like, oh, you need to give Sable. Here, let me show you how to sell these Stone Cold Steve Austin hats. He gets up and puts one on Sable's head. And then Mark Merrow notices the hat on her head and gets out of the ring, like chucks it into the crowd. And
they expect that.
Right. And then, yeah, he kicks Christopher, and that's when Christopher's not looking. When the ref's not looking, hits the TKO and gets the three count for the win. After the match, Merrow pretty much just grabs Sable and drags her out of the arena. Clearly very upset about the hat situation.
Yeah.
A fine match, much better than I would have anticipated it being, that's for sure. Then get the whole restart of the show, and then they tell us we're getting the champion versus champion title for title match as the Intercontinental Champion Owen Hart will battle the European Champion Shawn Michaels. And I got to tell you, Glenn, I thought the chances of this match actually taking place at all was going to be zero.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
I said, there ain't no motherfucking way these guys are going to get in the ring and start wrestling each other. But Glenn, I was wrong because they did wrestle each other.
Yeah.
And it was pretty fucking good.
That was a stiff power driver that Michaels gave Owen on the ramp, on the area floor.
Oh, yeah, that was. It was something, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought this was a pretty good match. I mean, obviously, if you're looking at Shawn Michaels versus Owen Hart, it's probably going to be pretty damn good. There was really no outside interference as they, not from the Hearts or DX, because they sent the Hearts and DX. Well, he sent DX to the back, Shawn did, and Owen kept the Hearts in the back too, as Owen said, you know, let's do this one-on-one. But like I said, when the bell rang and they actually started wrestling, I was fucking shocked. They show the Hart Foundation in the back watching the match on the smallest TV screen that you have ever seen.
Yay, I couldn't believe that. Normally they're looking at a normal size TV. It must be budget cuts or something.
This looked like one of those ones that like your grandparents would give you that you could take in the car with you, but you wouldn't ever pick up any channels anyway. It was really weird.
This is also it's an interesting match, sort of crowd reaction wise, because they're basically telling everybody to hate Owen, but then again hate Shawn as well.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like a mixed reaction of, yeah. I really can't even explain like the crowd react, because it got a good reaction. I mean, most of this show, the crowd was really into it. I mean, most of the show, they were standing on their feet. They were really into it. And maybe that's what made the level of it seem so much better than it has been maybe the last couple weeks. But I really think it was the quality of the matches, because.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
This was like the second or third pretty good match of the night. I would say that this was probably the best match of the night. And if they had got more time, it probably would have been even better. But yeah, anything else from this match you wanted to talk about?
No, just it had to end in a hokey finish. They couldn't have it title for title, really.
Yeah, it had to end in some sort of weird fashion. Shawn goes for a super kick. Owen ducks it, and then he's able to hit his enziguri on Shawn Michaels. And they always play this up because if you don't know, in 1995, he hit Shawn Michaels with an enziguri, and then Shawn Michaels passed out in the ring. Not really, but
yeah.
Storyline, he passed out in the ring. And so they always play that up whenever Shawn Michaels faces Owen Hart, which is smart. It's a smart move. And so Austin comes in the ring through the crowd. The referee tries to stop him, so he stuns the referee, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels then hits the super kick on Owen Hart, but it doesn't matter because the ref's out. And then Bret Hart takes this opportunity to make his way from the backstage area out to the ring, and he just starts going after Shawn Michaels, starts pounding on him. Eventually DX comes down and makes the save. But yeah, a good match, very entertaining, and the no contest ending didn't take anything away from it, I didn't think,
because
I thought the finish of it was still very entertaining. So
yeah, you just show. That was the trouble.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. And then we got to hear a little bit from The Undertaker about his brother Kane. So
just before that, though, you get call 1-900-737-WWF to hear another one of Jim Cornette's rants that they couldn't broadcast on TV.
Yeah. Jim Cornette has a lot. He's still doing those that they can't broadcast on TV.
Yeah.
But here's something you can broadcast on TV, and that's The Undertaker talking about his brother.
Yeah.
Covered by a dark cloud, carrying the grief of a family lost. And in one moment's time, the brother that I had lost forever, or so it seemed, is standing before me. And as I looked into his eyes, I didn't see the love of a long-lost brother, but the hatred of a man whose mind has been poisoned. And yes, Paul, you can rest assured that I am now living in hell. For when I looked into his eyes, I saw the demon. But however you've poisoned his mind, and whatever you've told him of his older brother, it doesn't matter. For I will never fight my own flesh and blood. I will never fight Cain.
Never, Glenn.
Never.
He'll never fight
Cain. This actually was good because it linked nicely with the next bit and what happened at the end. So.
Yeah, they did really play that together nicely because we were supposed to get Dude Love versus the British Bulldog. Dude Love makes his way down to the ring, but then the lights go out, the pyro goes off, the hint of red fills the arena, and Kane makes his way down to the ring with Paul Bearer. Dude Love, you know, out of everybody that Kane has kind of got into it with so far, got the most offense in.
They had to because people know that Dude Love is an alter ego of Mankind. And Cactus Jack, so they couldn't simply setting up other matches down the line without with him looking, you know, getting totally squashed by Kane. That's getting some sort of offense.
And if you do something to harm the Dude Love character, you're gonna harm all of his characters. So he had to do something to get some kind of licks in. Yeah, so he even gets a chair out from under the ring and hits Kane right in the head with it, but Kane completely no sells it. Grabs him and choke slams him on the steel ramp. He picks him up and does it again. And I put in my notes, I feel like some of the other members of Dude's head aren't going to allow this to stand without trying to do something about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, it was smart because you've already got the Kane thing fresh in your brain and then you immediately bring him out. So yeah, I thought that was a really good move by them. And it really puts Kane in where he's going to have a situation where he'll have an opponent in a match.
It takes it away from the Undertaker story enough to get people concentrating on Kane versus Foley, whatever.
Yeah, because even like I remember when I was, you know, 14 watching this and I'm thinking to myself, well, a lot of people might be scared of Kane, but Mankind's not going to be. Jack's not going to be. So he's going to have to do something for, you know, so they're setting something up, which is, I mean, and he's the best way to go about it as far as, you know, crazy people on the roster. And we'll hear more from Mankind at the end of the show. We then get the Headbangers taking on a new tag team. Let's hear from this new tag team. Glenn's really excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I bring to you the original badass in the World Wrestling Federation, Badass Billy Gunn. And now allow me to introduce myself. For those of you who don't know, you should call somebody. But get a close-up of the shirt because it reads the dog. Now, we're here to make a stand, and we ain't shaking no hands. You two jabronis couldn't lace my boots. Maybe the both of you can. We're about to start right here, you see. This is where our journey starts. And it ends with the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championship belts. And if you didn't know that, then you better page somebody.
For all you people who don't know, a pager was this little box thing that you would strap to your, like, people would put the number in, and they would put their number in, and then he would beep you, and then you would have to know to call that person. So then you'd have to stop at a payphone if you were driving and call them. That's what a pager is.
It was the original text messaging.
Yep, it was. It was. It really was. I had a pager when I was in the 8th grade. I had no business having one. Nobody was paging me, but I had one.
and your parents were paying for that privilege.
Actually, my sister got it for me. I don't know if you don't know this about me. I'm like 8 to 9 years younger than my next sibling. So my brothers and sisters were all very grown by the time I was a teenager. My sister got it for me. My father would have, I don't think my dad knew I had it. He would have never allowed that. Because there was like a connotation in the 90s where if you had a pager, you were like a drug dealer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I assure you, I wasn't selling drugs when I was 14.
You were either a drug dealer or a doctor.
And I was neither of those when I was 14. I guarantee it. So the four tag team champions taking on the New Age Outlaws. Glenn's excited. Tell me all about it, Glenn. Tell me how excited you are.
I'm very excited. R.I.P. Rockabilly, and welcome to the badass Billy Gunn.
He needs to get rid of that jacket, but that'll come with
time. That outfit. God knows where they got that from.
Yeah, that was god awful.
I think they must have stole it from Japan or something. It looks like something that Takumi Shinoko would have worn.
It does. It looks like he borrowed Tajiri's ring jacket.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I mean, the match, it was another decent match. I mean, it was a really good way to debut a new tag team. People hated these guys. And that's exactly what you want. So I think it did their job.
Definitely. They grow to love them, but they started off really hating them, which is
I remember fucking hating these two when I was 14. Yeah. I hated them. Eventually Billy Gunn takes the Headbangers boombox that they brought out to the ring with him. If you don't know, a boombox is this thing you put tapes or CDs and the music would play out of it. I'm not going to explain the 90s to you people, okay? It cracks it over Thrasher's head. And the Road Dog gets the win. I guess the referee didn't notice the pieces of the fucking boombox all over the place.
They just counted it.
They just counted it anyway. The New Age Outlaws are here and they are the winners of the tag team match here. So they win their debut match and Glenn's glad he will never have to hear that rockabilly song ever again.
That didn't go with a bang, didn't it? That boom box.
Yeah, it really did. I think it's going to be like a thing that happens a lot with the Headbangers. They're going to keep bringing a boom box to the ring and people are going to keep breaking it over their heads. So they should probably next thing is Sonny comes down to the ring for a special guest ring announcer for this light heavyweight match. It is Tajiri taking on Taka Michinoku, and they also let us know before the match that Taka has officially signed a long-term contract with the World Wrestling Federation. So there's that. Did you notice, Glenn, that they actually told us when the light heavyweight tournament's going to start? Yep. Jim Ross officially announced that on the November 3rd edition of Monday Night Raw, the first round of the light heavyweight tournament will start. So we will finally, after 11 months of them talking about it, we'll finally get a light heavyweight tournament. So
this is because in WCW, they abandoned the idea of having one. A bit earlier than this, they set one up. And they basically said, we'll have it next year. Just forgot about it.
Oh, that sounds like WWE. Yeah. Sounds about right. But yeah, I mean, this was a fast-paced, hard-hitting, lots of near falls. I mean, I wish it had been about 10 minutes longer, but this was a really good match, too.
I could have quite happily watched this for another 10 minutes.
I could probably even 20 because it was a really great light heavyweight style matchup. I felt like this was more on par to the stuff that you would see in WCW from the cruiserweights in this time frame than most of the stuff we've seen from the light heavyweight division in the WWF, personally, I thought.
Yeah. What a waste. Taka Michinoku and Tajiri and two such talented wrestlers. WWF didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, as we go forward, you're going to learn that WWF didn't know what to do with any light heavyweight division.
No.
They weren't sure. Eventually, Taka does get the win with the Michinoku driver. It was a really good match. Hopefully, we'll get to see these guys wrestle a couple more times.
Yeah.
Maybe in the light heavyweight tournament. We then get another Jim Cornette rant. Mm-hmm. And this time he's just kind of reading notes of people that wrote back to Phil Munchnick. And I don't really want to go over this whole thing again, so we're just going to skip it. If you had said anything different or worthwhile than he said the week before, I might show it, but like I didn't want to go through this whole five-minute spiel of him just reading wrestling fans telling Phil Muchnick how much they hate him. So, yeah, then we go to the main event. yeah, exactly.
In inverted commas, that is main event.
Yeah, the main event, which is very strange. The Godwins come down, and then apparently they're going to face two members of DOA.
There were so many other matches that they could have had as a main event here.
But this one.
This one.
So DOA don't want to have a match. They apparently hate fucking hog farmers and people who use trash cans as weapons. And so they just start beating the shit out of these guys. And then I was thinking to myself, I bet they could have used Uncle Cletus right now, couldn't they? They shouldn't have beat him up last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could come in some handy if you see him now.
Yeah. Vince having orgasms over the Titan bikes again. As DOA come out.
Goddamn, look at those bikes. And then the Truth Commission come down to the ring, and then they join in with the Godwins because, as you know, hog farmers and South African Truth Commissions have a lot in common. So they team up. They start beating down the DOA, and
this is supposed to be the main event, and it's mid-card job in Mid-City.
They should have just opened the show with this.
Yeah, that's the one to open with, and have the Legion of Legion of Doom and Shamrock and Ahmed Johnson against the Nation.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, I don't. But I assume that they did that because they wanted to end the show with this Mankind promo that I'm going to show.
Well, they could have still done that, couldn't they?
They still could have done it easily. Yeah.
You know, just basically have that match finish how it finished.
Yeah.
And cut to black. And then we get...
Yeah. It seemed like this is what happened. Like, they got down to it and they said, oh, wait, there's still going to be like 8 minutes left. And they went, get out there. DOA, you got your bikes? Ride them down to the ring. Where's the fucking Truth Commission? Truth Commission!
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, get out there.
Just old bro. Don't worry about
it. Just fight each other. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you South African guys love the hog farmers. You hate guys on motorcycles. Go. So then all that happens, and then we get this really good Mankind promo to kind of end the show.
So you think you've seen madness? You don't know the meaning of the word, because Mankind is the master of madness, of mayhem, of malice, even cruelty. And if the Undertaker has qualms about fighting his own brother, then rest assured, I have no such principles. Because if it were my own sweet, dear, decrepit grandmother who dropped an innocent kid like Dude Love on his head, then the old bag would go down. So, Kane, I want to make myself clear. I'll fight you anywhere, anytime, anyhow, and you will be mine. Mine. All mine. Have a nice day.
Oh, that was fucking amazing, wasn't it?
He's so good.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And it shows you that we're going to have a really interesting match between those two crazy fuckers, right?
Yeah.
So that should be fun. And yeah, and that is the end of the October 20th, 1997 episode of Monday Night Raw. And I would venture to say that would probably be in my top five, possibly even top three Raws from the year of 1997. Because it was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like a version of Crash TV, where this came from different angles and flew at the audience, but it worked. Everything came, apart from the last match in it. Everything else worked nicely. Progressed stories, And we got some decent matches out of it as well.
Yeah, I think that's why it worked better, because we have been getting the Crash TV for a few weeks now, but we haven't really got any decent matches mixed in with them. But this year week, we actually did get decent matches mixed in with the Crash TV, so that was good.
Yeah.
So I think we both agree it's got to be two thumbs up for this week's episode. Oh, it's got to be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't two thumbs up for Raw on the ratings this week, Glenn. This week, Raw got a 2.93, which is up from 2.25 that it got last week. But unfortunately for them, WCW did a 4.60, so they trashed them in the ratings.
They can't fit anything else on TV, can they? Or
besides whatever, Monday Night Football.
Whatever Nitro had on before it, people just stay tuned.
Or like we were talking about before we got on the air, I think it might have just been habit at this point, because so many wrestling fans were watching WCW that they were just going to continue to do that because it's what they'd been doing for.
But that's a big strike from last week where it's 3 point something.
Yeah, it went from 3.79 to 4.60, so it did jump a lot for WCW. I mean, it jumped a lot. It jumped for WCW and WWE, so both their ratings went up. A pretty good number. So
must have been a crap Monday Night Football match, wasn't it?
Must have been the Bears versus the Browns or something. I say that as a Bears fan. So do you want to hear the matches that you missed since we watched Raw instead of Nitro?
Let's see what was worth 4.6.
Well, the opening match definitely would have got you interested and kept you involved. It's Eddie Guerrero defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Chris Benoit. So I imagine that was a pretty good match. And then Goldberg defeated Wrath in 20 seconds, which I'm sure was fun. Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee in the year 2024, Steve Mongo McMichael defeated Mortis. Eugene Nagata defeated Juventud Guerrero. Kurt Hennig defeated Dean Malenko, which that was probably a hell of a good match, too. Lex Luger defeated Booker T, and the main event of the evening was Scott Hall defeating Scott Steiner. So there you have it. That is what we missed because we watched Raw. Scott Hall
defeated Scott Steiner.
Yeah, so that must have been before he joined the NWO, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think he joined the NWO in February of 1998.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was Fall. I was at Super Brawl 98 is when I think he turned on Rick. So, yeah, that was just before he went to the dark side to join the NWO. Well, that's it, Glenn. Anything else you want to say before we put a bow on this thing?
No. You know, basically, we've got a decent show.
I would say better than decent. I would say very good.
Yeah, stories have been advanced. It's everything you want from a 1997 Raw.
Yep, and we are only 2 weeks away from Survivor Series 1997. Do you remember anything big happening in Survivor Series 1997? Anything at all? I can't think of anything. Nothing too big.
Where was that one? I can't even remember where it was.
Maybe it's in like somewhere in the northern region, like maybe Buffalo or something.
Might have been.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100%. Sarcasm, we know. Don't tell me in the goddamn Instagram comments that... I know what it is. We're joking.
Yeah, we are.
So that'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting show to review, that Survivor Series 1997. Yeah, I don't... It's going to be something, that's for sure. That's all I can say.
So tune in next week, where we see Bret Hart defend the WWF title against Ken Shamrock.
That's true. That should be a hell of a contest.
It should be.
Yeah. Enjoy Bret Hart while you got him, because he's going to be gone soon. But yeah, that is it. That's all. The only thing we should do now is have Glenn plug some beautiful people. Go ahead, Glenn.
I'm booking the territory, the first and last of wrestling with Dan and Rob. Also, there's side projects. I'm stacking the territory and Gate of Golf, but they've run out of Gate of Golf, so they're now doing other sports related to the Gate of Golf tournament for being the elite.
The only time a wrestling championship was won using illegitimate sports, though Glenn says they're not legitimate.
DDT Wrestling with DC Doc. And of course, there's a brand new, spanking new episode of
the Doctor Who podcast with Danny Inside. That's on SJP World Media. Check it out.
And it's out today.
It is out today. That is absolutely right. You'll be able to hear our voices coming up on SJP World Media soon too. So just give them a subscribe and check them out. That's all the plugs that Glenn's got, but I, of course, got a couple. Make sure you check out Sportswire Radio. Check out the website. It's sportswireradiowithaz.org. Hit that listen live button so you can hear us and many other great podcasts. And give our buddy Thomas Bryce a follow on all the social media platforms that you have. Just search Thomas Bryce. That's Thomas Bryce, B-R-I-C-E. If you can't spell Thomas, I'm not going to spell it for you because I don't know what else to do for you. Check that out. Give him a follow. Check out everything Sportswire Radio's got going on. And of course, give the other third member of our podcast team, the mayor of Canton, a follow on the Twitter X gimmick. He does a meal with the mayor every Wednesday where he tries a new thing. So maybe you don't have to, or he eats delicious things that you can't because of your dietary restrictions. It will make you angry.
You never forgive him for going to.
No, I'm not going to. Until he puts out something new, I'm still going to keep going back to that. To that cheesecake one, yeah. Yeah, check that out. Every Wednesday he tries something new. Give him a follow. He's always an entertaining, funny guy to follow. Unless you don't like Hulk Hogan's spit gifts, then maybe don't follow him. But of course, check out our other projects. We've got part two of our WrestleMania 1 watch along out right now and find out just how hard Greg the Hammer Valentine hammers them. He'll tell you himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very hard. And of course, talking about things that are hard. Check out I Don't Know Shit, The Life and Times of Psycho Sid. Episode 26 is out right now. Give it a watch. He's still whipping people in Memphis. And there'll be a new one out this Friday, so make sure you check that out. And I believe that is all I've got to plug for this week. So the only thing left to do. Do I have anything else I gotta say, Glenn?
Nope. That's it.
I got it all. The only thing left to do is for Glenn to tell you goodbye.
Goodbye.